The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Now listen to this for a career path. UFC fighter to present day beekeeper. Anthony Broxson, good morning.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
You are the man to call to rescue bee colonies from places that other beekeepers can't reach, but formerly you were a cage fighter.
That's a bit of a lie, to be honest.
Is it? Okay, correct me.
I used to do a bit of MMA years ago. Sorry?
Correct me. Go on.
Oh, yes. I didn't mean to be ignorant there, but no, I done a bit of MMA years ago. We set up a club in Waterford. There wouldn't have been much MMA around back in those days. So we just kind of set it up and got going. So I would have been one of the first around, but I never fought at any high level or anything.
Okay, so you were doing it at an amateur level and you went off and you taught yourself jiu-jitsu in order to get better at it. So you're being quite modest here, aren't you?
What happened was we'd no coach and we're training away. We're basically just beating the head off each other. So I started just entering grappling tournaments and stuff like that. So you kind of learn fairly quickly that being athletic and strong doesn't get you very far. So I got beaten up by a few jiu-jitsu lads. So I just concentrated on jiu-jitsu for a few years. So the plan was always to go back to MMA. So I got up to around the purple belt level and just one day in training. And then the knee just snapped. The cruciate ligament and all the meniscus got torn. So that knocked me back a bit.
And was that a fighting injury or a training injury?
It was a training injury. I'd love to be able to say it was some big deadly leg lock and I wouldn't tap, but no, it was more of an overtraining injury than anything.
Okay, so your credentials as an exponent of MMA are well established here in spite of your modesty. How then, please tell me, do you go from that to beekeeping?
I'm from the country. I'm a bit of a culture. And I was always interested in bees anyway. So during the recession, I was just bored one day and I was looking up on the internet and I just checked out a beekeeping course. And there just by coincidence was one starting the following week up in Clonmel. So I signed up and went up and done the course. And this was during the recession, so I wasn't actually working much. So I hadn't the money to buy bees or buy hives or anything. So I just made a hive and it was actually turned out the back of my parents' house for a couple of years. And one day I came out of the house I was living in and there was a swarm of bees just hanging on a branch. So I put it into a cardboard box, brought it home, thrown it into the hive, and that was the start of it.
And without any protective gear you did this, did you?
Oh, no, I had the protective gear then because, you know, you don't go into that as a beginner, head first, picking up bees.
Yeah, exactly. I did a half a day kind of introduction to beekeeping at one stage, and then I did the maths at the end of it as to how much it would cost me to set up a hive and get all of the kit. And yeah. I reckon that the cheapest would be about 800 or 900 euro. How did you set yourself up back in the pits of the depths of the recession?
Yeah, so basically I made the hives myself and then I started catching swarms, so I never actually bought bees. Just catching swarms around the place. But the first few years, I had what was called worry hives, which are basically just boxes stacked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. I had bees in those, but I wouldn't say I was doing much beekeeping. I was a bee haver, as they'd say, not a beekeeper.
A bee haver.
So,
wait, when you go about catching a swarm, you've got to identify the queen in the middle of this maelstrom of activity. How do you do that with any confidence?
I'll be honest, when I'm catching swarms or doing cutouts, I actually rarely see the queen.
Okay.
So I just pick the whole lot up and just put it into a box. If you put enough bees into the box, there's a good chance you'll have the queen. And when she's in there, the rest of them follow.
But does it ever happen that you haven't got the queen, that you've left her behind
and they
all desert your hive?
They go back to where she is. So you come back, you go off for a cup of tea, come back an hour later. And they'll either be either going into the hive or they'll be back in the hole you took them out of or wherever. And then you just do it again. So I just do that. Usually you'll get them the first time, but, you know, it might take two goes, might take three goes. Sometimes if you're doing a cutout, you can't get her. I took one out of a wall once and she was hiding in behind the stones the whole time. Three or four times I tried. So in that case, I just took all the bees out and just smoked her out.
Is this so how then you have earned yourself the reputation of being the man who goes for the swarms in difficult to reach places?
It's you see, I worked on building sites all my life. My father's a builder. So I'm well used to stripping roofs and knocking chimneys and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's and I have no fear of heights or anything like that. So, yeah. And when I do a good, if I do a good cut out and stuff, like I take pictures of that. That's the one to take the pictures of and take the videos of. It's advertisement. It's good advertisement. Mm.
So which cutout are you most proud of?
I'll be honest, the cutout I'm most proud of, and it's not so much to do with the cutout, we took one from a chimney in Carrick in, I think it was March this year. And I got a call. The builder was doing a small job and it was four stories up. So I went down and I said, look, they didn't think the bees were in there. They thought they were gone. So I said, I'll come in tomorrow. They had the scaffolding, did everything ready. I said, I'll knock the chimney, take him out, and then you build it back.
So hang on, you had to go in through the outside of the chimney breast?
The very top, up at the very top, up on the roof, we knocked the chimney from the top.
Okay.
So that's
it's still, a fairly narrow space to be working in.
I'm up on the roof. Like we knocked it and just took him out. It wasn't that difficult, really. But what I'm most proud of is the builder. He wouldn't go up. He said, no way, he's afraid of bees. So when we were doing the job, he actually came up with me. We had suits on and he was actually fine. He was grand. A while later, I said to him, you're very calm around the bees. Like you said, you're nervous. And he said, well, I'm looking at you and you're completely calm and it's calming me. So I was actually up with this lad about 2 weeks ago. He's actually out of buying a hive and he's getting into from being afraid of bees a couple of months ago. He's actually getting bees now. So I'm actually most proud of that, to be honest.
And is it nervous people who get stung then?
No, I wouldn't say that. You're more likely to get stung if you're nervous. The bees will kind of know. And if it's more how you react, I think. If I do get stung. Don't get me wrong. I actually get stung less when I don't have the gear on, simply because I only take it off when I know they're not going to sting. You know, I know I can read them fairly well at this stage.
Okay, tell me how you do that. How do you read a swarm?
Well, a swarm itself, swarm and a cutout are two very different things. So swarms, usually, they're not defending anything. You know, most people could pick up a swarm and not get stung if they are calm about it. Now, having said that, I did once go for a swarm and they started hopping off me as soon as I walked into the back garden. So it's not 100%. Okay. But a cutout, they actually have, you're cutting out the honey, you're cutting out the brood, you're cutting out everything. And they want to defend that. But every colony is different.
Hang on, we should probably do the responsible thing here as well and say nobody should go and start picking up a swarm with their bare hands.
Oh,
right,
100%,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they shouldn't, because, to be honest, you could get stung, you get an allergic reaction, and you could be dead. Simple as that. And that happens to beekeepers as well. You know, it's not... You can develop allergies at any stage.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, that our native bee population, a third of them are close to extinction, and there's a big problem. And I remember reading a line from a well-respected ecologist that said that keeping hives to save the bees is like keeping chickens to save the birds. And indeed, hives can end up competing with the native honeybees for plants, for food. What do you make of that?
I believe that's 100% true, to be honest. A lot of beekeepers mightn't agree with me there, but people talk about honeybees are in trouble, and honeybees aren't in trouble. There's more honeybees now than there ever was in Ireland. Like, it's kind of the trendy thing to do now. But our
bumblebees, our ground-dwelling bees, are in trouble.
Yes, it's the bumblebees, it's the solitary bees, hoverflies, those sort of things. They're in more trouble than honeybees. Honeybees will be fine. You know, there's no worry about honeybees, really. And it's more, I think, I'm not an expert on it, but I think there's more of a habitat thing Like ditches are, when I was younger, fields were smaller and ditches were bigger. And I'm not that old. I think I'm 43. But, you know, I can even see it. There's less and less wild habitat for insects.
All right. Look, the best of luck with that. And Anthony Broxton, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.